you know, a lot of fans try to say, stop running the ball on first down. Stop running the ball on first down. The Chiefs ran the ball on first down and kicked the Bucks' ass.
Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. It's also the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. BigStormBrewery.com. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. You'll see all the beers there. The Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA is their top seller. It is amazing. And there are so many more. The Wavemaker Amber Ale, Palm Bender IPA, so many great beers and spirits. BigStormBrewery.com. Look at all the beers. Find the tap rooms. BigStormBrewery.com. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman in all his glory, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, where they're giving you $500 just to order a new vehicle with no deposit. BillCurryFord.com, concierge assistance. If you need it and want it to order online, it is so easy to build your vehicle that you want and get it quickly. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan is ready to work with you personally if you want that. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. He's also the host of the Best in Class podcast at JoeBucksFan.com, our draft guru. A lot of good stuff in there at Best in Class. And Sean is ready for you. You can also find him at BillCurryFord.com, where you can start shopping immediately for a vehicle, even while you listen to this podcast. How about that, Ira? I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. Now, we're a little late, Ira, this week, but we've got two, and we're going to give more of a little more perspective here after that Sunday night game. A lot to sink our teeth into when it comes to the state of the Bucks, losing two home games in a row, make it three home games in a row, taking it back to last season, Ira, which is almost unthinkable when you put that together and the talent on this team. But here we are at 2-2. Dive into the positive, Sage, which is apparently per Todd Bowles on his radio show. Now, he did not speak yesterday to the media, a mysterious personal absence. But on his radio show and with Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM NFL Radio, he said that the receivers are healthy. They came out of the game healthy outside of a little nick and bruise. And, you know, Julio Jones came out, but they said it was because he didn't really loosen up well after halftime, had some tightness. But everybody's healthy. And if all four of them are back with Cole Beasley retiring now, that's a formidable, formidable bunch. And they were able to open it up against your Chiefs.
That's much more like the Buck offense we're accustomed to once Brady arrived. I thought Brady played well. Yeah, he missed a few, but, you know, Mike Evans came back in force. Godwin caught his balls. I think he lacks a little explosiveness at this point, Lee, but it's coming. I don't know what's going on with Julio Jones, Lee. Part of it is I got him on my fantasy team. I don't know whether to play the guy or not. Lee, he catches one ball, and then he disappears. I never saw him. I didn't know what was going on with the guy. I don't necessarily think they can count on him for this particular game. I don't know if he's got any hard feelings towards the Falcon organization. Maybe that'll spur him a little bit. But Brady did a nice job of spreading the ball around. The problem, Lee, of course, you and I are in agreement, is they never made a stop. They never made an important stop. Forced one punt at the end of the game. The game was already decided. This defense has to bounce back. I want to say this, Lee. I'll throw it out there right now. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But yesterday was the 19th anniversary, Lee, 19 years, it seems like yesterday. That famous game, Father Dungy came to town on his birthday on a Monday night. Bucks had a 35-14 lead. I can't believe what I'm saying. 35-14, Rondé Barber just returned a pick six. The game was over. And I think there were 5 or 6 minutes left, and they end up losing that game to the Colts. And Lee, they never really recovered. And that was the defending champion Buck team, 2003. And Lee, it was the last year they had the great, you know, Hall of Famer on defense, because the next year, Sapp was gone, Lynch was gone, and it was never to be the same. And so here come the Chiefs, and the Bucks were 2-1 going into that game. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, Lee, but the way they lost to the Chiefs, just overpowered, manhandled up front. I can't believe it because, you know, Lee, I follow the Chiefs very closely. They haven't had a robust running game really since Mahomes took over. They don't run the ball. It's an afterthought. And I thought that was the key to the game. Every time I look up at second and two, Lee, you can't play defense like that.
They got bullied, plain and simple. And you know you're having a bad night when Dr. Ferdy Pachinko is pounding you on offense.
And he's a rookie out of Rutgers. He played for Shiano.
Well, I keep thinking of the Doc Muhammad Ali's ring doctor.
I know.
Wasn't he a Tampa native, Dr. Ferdy Pachinko?
I believe he was. But, Lee, I didn't see anybody up front make a play all night.
The Bucs defense absolutely got bullied. It was like someone forgot that Travis Kelce plays for the Chiefs. When I watched it, he was open all the time. My gosh, don't the Super Bowl, they put Levante David on him, and it kept him out of the end zone. What happened to that game plan? And it was almost like, and actually, Mahomes admitted this on Rich Eisen's show, they wanted payback for that Super Bowl.
Yes.
They had this game circled when the schedule came out, when Mike North, the famous Chicago sportscaster, came out with the NFL schedule. They had that game circled. They couldn't wait for it. It almost looked like I saw a breakdown this morning on Good Morning Football of some of the plays the Chiefs ran. It's almost like Andy Reid was game planning for this back in May. They were ready. They were absolutely ready, and the Bucs were not ready.
Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. You tell me. And the Bucs don't want to dwell on this, but it's coming out, you know, from a coach, from a player. The suggestion, Steve, that the kids were running down the hallways in Miami and the construction at the hotel. Steve, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'll say it up front. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, Isbits.
I don't think it makes sense for coming out super flat. For Jamel Dean sort of saying our heads weren't there, we weren't focused, and you know, Todd Bowles even went there. You know, I wrote that up. I wasn't expecting him to go there, but he said it affected the preparation. And he said that on his radio show this week, yet all last week he said they thought they got good work in and all that stuff. I don't know what to believe, Ira. I mean, I do believe that there was some nonsense going on in that hotel. Maybe when guys were sleeping, you got kids playing football in the hallways and their pets everywhere and barking. And I'm not going to say that it was just a normal situation for these guys and how they prepare for a game, but you're right. Still no excuse. They were back on Friday and they had time to get their heads right. They had time to meet normally on a Saturday and get plenty of sleep for a Sunday night game at home against the Chiefs. So I just can't buy it. I don't buy it either. But maybe in some ways it's a good thing for them to believe in their heads that it was a screwy week. It was no big deal. And you know, we were just kind of messed up. And maybe it's easier to write it off.
I could just picture Devin White on the sidelines. He's getting chewed out by Bulls for tackling too high. And he's like, oh, I'm tackling high because there was a dog barking Thursday night.
Steve, Stevie, we got to address the elephant. We have to at some point. I know you got a plan for all this, but everything going around number 12 and out of some physical issues, number 12, and you know you can't get around it, Steve. He's the center of attention for a reason.
Well, let's go there, Ira. From his arm. Okay, so he gets hit on a blitz. That was Brady's responsibility. He's supposed to see the free runner coming and get the ball out. The guy disguised it a little bit pretty well, and he got hit, you know, and that happens. And so he played through the game, and allegedly he's got some sort of minor rotator cuff issue. I don't think it's any kind of big deal at all, Ira. I really don't. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but Brady plays through all this kinds of stuff, and he's saying it's just part of the turf. He's probably had this injury before, I would think, and I have no reason to doubt him. As far as the divorce stuff, none of us know when this started as far as the seeds planted for this going badly. For all we know, Brady's life was worse than it is now back in December of last year. We don't know what was going on in his house. This may be liberating for him. So I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend I know either way that it's going to affect him or not affect him. I don't know. For all I know, he had serious marital issues going on in 2020 and won the Super Bowl with the Bucks. We're not going to know what was going on in his house.
However, Lee, it does appear these divorce rumors are true. It has been confirmed by other outlets other than Page Six of the New York Post. So let's assume it's true. So, Lee, that takes it to another level. If they each hiring divorce lawyers, kids are involved. Lee, you know, you almost feel dirty, like a voyeur, you know, infringing on somebody's personal life. I mean, should we really care? I think the New York Post might have three people assigned to Tom Brady. Lee, he don't even play for a New York team.
Shows you, but he's an international celebrity. That's why.
No question. But Lee, we got to remember, you know, sometimes you forget he's involved in so many things. He's done so many things, but he's a human being. You can't help thinking that these things are affecting him. Now, look, he played very well, Lee. He played well. I got no problems with the way Brady threw the ball the other night. But he just doesn't, Lee, he kind of looks miserable out there most of the time. He looks miserable at the podium. Granted, they're 2-2. He looked miserable after the Green Bay game, Lee, when they were 2-0 and he sat at the podium for 100 seconds and excused himself. That's not normal. So,
Ira, wouldn't you look miserable, too, if you had to take questions from the Tampa Bay Media Corps every week?
He's going through a brutal trial by fire right now. I kind of feel bad for him. How can you not? Kids are involved. But I'm with Steve on this physical thing. I think he's relatively healthy. And I'm going to throw one more thing in. I know you two guys are going to fight me back on this, and that's fine, Lee. maybe I'm looking at a different game. I've said this a couple of times this week, and people look at me like I'm crazy. Lee, I'll say it again. The pass protection has been very good on this team. I'm not going to talk about run blocking, but, Lee, I watched every freaking snap, and Brady was rarely hit the other night. Yeah, there was a big one, caused the fumble, and, you know, roughed up his shoulder a little bit. But, Lee, he's not under siege. He threw 52 times. He ain't running for his life. This ain't Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl against the Bucks. Far from it.
No, what's interesting, Iron, I agree with you. You know, I know there's people out there that, you know, the public perception of what pass blocking should be and reality is, and I'm not, it sounds like I'm being condescending. I'm really not, but Brady's fine with pass protection. But what I'm finding interesting is, you know, Luke Getteke was supposed to be this great run blocker. He's turned into a better pass blocker. So what was the narrative? My gosh. And training camp. We heard it how many times in training camp. Getteke's a good run blocker. He needs work on the pass blocking. What seems to be the opposite now a month into the season. So I think that's interesting. The Brady stuff, I mean, he was on Howard Stern talking about his wife threatening a divorce if he didn't stop going to OTA. So this rancor is supposed to be news, really? You know, that was, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? At the bottom line is, what's Brady doing on the field? He's doing pretty well. Throw in the fact that he's 45, he's doing exceptionally well. I'm not worried. You know, once he got Godwin and Evans back on the field, he was back to the old Brady. I feel bad for his kids. I don't feel bad for Brady. I don't feel bad for his wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, estranged wife, supermodel, whatever you want to call her. I don't feel bad about them. Here's what I feel bad about. It looks like Brady's hostile attempt to be a part owner of the Dolphins is up in smoke, and his goal to be a team owner looks like the only chance he has now is hooking up with Grady Hunt or Grayson Hunt.
Here's how well Brady played Sunday night. Steve, if they could have made a couple of stops in the third quarter, I think the Bucs would have had a chance to win that game as badly as they played, but they never could do it, Steve. They couldn't do it.
Ira, it did have that Rams feel to it, didn't it, offensively?
Yeah, I mean, they started making some stops in the second half of the Rams game, but Steve, the third quarter, the Chiefs get the ball, they get a field goal. The next time they get it, they get a touchdown. Steve, you can't win a game like that.
Ira, Edwards-Helaire dropped a golden, fourth and one throw or whatever it was.
Yeah, he did.
The game's over if that happens, for sure. He probably takes that in. Maybe not. But, I mean, you can't go the if route in this game. They got mauled at the line of scrimmage.
Ira, what's a bigger story? Brady's shoulder or Cam Brate's concussion?
Lee, I'm going to say this right now. the concussion issue is a legitimate one, but people are going too crazy over it. They're going too crazy. They're looking for people to blame, and they're focusing on the head coach, whether it's Mike McDaniel in Miami. He's supposed to be clairvoyant about Tua. He's supposed to know he's going to take a brutal hit. But last week, after what he went through the week before, here we go with Cameron Brate. Leave the decisions up to the guys that are trained. There are neurosurgeons on every sideline in the NFL. If there's problems with the protocol, correct them. But don't come down on the coaching staff when they're following the people that they were told to follow. I think it's a simplistic look to criticize Todd Bowles or anybody on the staff, and McDaniel should have overruled the neurosurgeon. Steve, this thing's spinning out of control.
Well, it doesn't help when Tony Dungy's out there on Twitter saying the system's broken and I was near Cameron Brate. I mean, come on, Mr. Dungy. He knows that linemen are getting belted in the head on every third play, and you don't have to be close to them to know that. And when they're lying in a pile, we don't know if their bell's rung. They get up, and that's that. And they don't come out of the game. The sport is violent. And that, like you said, Ira, they have people assigned by the league to monitor this stuff. If somebody screws up, then they should be pulled and get somebody better in there so they don't screw up. But, I mean, you can't start screaming about the players and the coaches and the safety. This goes on in every game, every week.
I just don't like the second-guessing, Lee. It's classic, you know, hindsight. What Tua went through the week before, I don't think that's got anything to do with what happened to him last week, Lee.
Neither you or I are a neurosurgeon, and I think it's really out of bounds to blame a coach when a freaking neurosurgeon says, "Hey, the player's good."
Yes.
And a coach says, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Get away." But huh? Yeah. Really? I don't have that kind of balls to tell a neurosurgeon he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to someone's health.
It's a classic overreaction, Steve. It happens all the time in sports. And, of course, you got all the talking heads now, Steve. There's so many of them, you can't even keep track. And they love to pile on and look. They're looking for a bad guy. And sometimes, you know, it's just not there.
Doctors make mistakes all the time. I mean, they got to be called on it. You know, patients are responsible for that, too. You got a lot of people involved who thought everything was fine. And I don't think anybody doesn't have Cameron Brate's best interest. It's a little bit over the top with some of the stuff we were hearing. Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration, they know the corruption in the insurance industry. When you have a disaster in your home or at your business, flood, fire, water, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, you call Florida's Elite Restoration first, 24/7. They'll assess your property in a hurry and work with you to make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company and that the work gets done safely from someone you can trust. Florida's Elite Restoration, they have a $500 offer, Ira, for your listeners. Just mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman when you agree to go ahead with Florida's Elite Restoration if you need their service. So you call them, they'll give you a free assessment, and you let them know, hey, I heard about you from Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman. If you use their services after the free assessment, they're going to give you $500 that you can use toward your deductible or as money back from a cash restoration repair that you get done with Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them first. Owner Josh Martin, again, great guy. They got great experience. They're local, family-owned, but they service the whole Bay Area. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. If nothing else, put them in your favorites and your bookmark after you look at the website, and then you've got someone in your corner when that disaster strikes. But Sage, back to the game, Ira. You didn't go there too much about the offense. You were eager to talk about the broken run defense, and it was broken. I mean, there's just nothing else to say. You watch it, and they get mauled time after time. But the offense, Ira, I mean, do you believe? Let's forget about Julio Jones for a minute. If he's healthy enough to play, which it seems that he is, he's going to draw attention. He's capable of squeezing a football. Nobody ever expected him to come in here and be a superstar. I did think he'd have a good year, you know, maybe get a dozen really good games in here, but there's still an excellent receiving core if these guys are healthy or getting healthier. Do you think this team can get back right away to scoring 30 points a game? Because that's really what we're talking about here. Do they have the juice? They just put up 31 on a very motivated Chiefs team in a game that, while it wasn't close, wasn't out of reach. I'm not going to say the Chiefs were in a prevent defense or anything like that.
Right.
So they just put up 31. Do you believe they have enough right now to continue to put up 30 points every week? That's the important question.
It's a high threshold, Steve. Now, you know, the other side is that they've done it for 2 years in a row since Brady arrived. Lee, that's true. You know, I think we're going to look back, Lee, and look at the Chiefs game as an outlier. It was a terrible defensive performance. I did my podcast with Derek Brooks this week, and he mentioned, Lee, and we remember it, the championship season, 02, with all those Hall of Fame defensive players, they went out to Oakland, and they lost 45-0 late in the season. Maybe they let their guard down or whatever, but they were still jockeying for playoff positioning at that point. Brooks said they gave up 275 yards rushing. I didn't check to see if he was right, but it was a terrible performance. So Brooks's point is they're going to have games like that. So it's tough to judge the offense in that context, because I don't expect the Bucs defense to have another day like that. I mean, God forbid. That was awful. I think 30 points is a little high. I think it's a little high. Lee, I think the Chiefs' defense did relax a little with a 21-3 lead. You know, why not? But with these guys coming back, and Evans is in peak form, you know, look, they don't have Gronkowski. That's not going to change unless he changes his mind. So that's a move right there. That's a situation right there where it affects you on the ground. It affects you through the air. To maintain that 30 points is tough. It's tough. They did it the other night. They certainly didn't do it the first 3 weeks. Lee, the run game, again, it was an outlier. It was not a game where the Bucs were going to be balanced. Lee, that famous word that you cringe at, balanced. Come on, Ira. So it was a night when he threw 52 balls. I think they'll be able to run the ball, Lee. And I'm telling you, keep your eye on Rashad. Well, I don't know what's going on with Bourne, Lee. Maybe you can tell me. Maybe there's a fan out there that can tell me. What the heck did Keyshawn Vaughn do so wrong? I don't get it.
I mean, that's a very good point, Ira. I mean, late in the season, Keyshawn Vaughn came off the bench and had some really good runs. He seems to be more of a guy that could take punishment like Leonard Fournette. Rashad White looks to me like a finesse player. I'm not talking stats. I'm not talking film work. I'm just talking eyeball that I've seen. He doesn't appear to be that kind of running back. Keyshawn Vaughn does. And why Keyshawn Vaughn's not getting any carries? I mean, at this rate, playoff Lenny's going to be he's not going to make it to Munich. He's not going to make it to Munich. I mean, if Keyshawn Vaughn is that bad, why is he eating up a roster spot? Unless you're telling me he's an infallible special teams player. The run game as a whole is starting to be curious to me. What's wrong? There's something wrong with the run game. What that is, I don't know. Harold Goodwin yesterday, who doesn't mince words, came right out right away and said they could block better.
Man, it changed on a dime, Lee, because it was outstanding. In the opener against Dallas, outstanding. Fournette ran, you know, for good holes for Fournette. He bullied people. He ran over people. Steve, to your point again about the 30 points, I just want to reiterate, no Gronkowski. Godwin is not the old Godwin yet. Let's hope he gets there by midseason. No Antonio Brown. Julio Jones banged up. Not much help right now. Russell Gage, okay. Add up all those things, Lee, and it's not as dynamic a passing game as we've seen the last 2 years. It's just not.
Ira, why is it that folks say that Byron Leftwich, too much focus on the run, too much focus on the run? Yet the Bucs are third least rushing attempts in the NFL. The Dolphins are the last at 80, Rams at 82, Bucs at 83, and the Bucs averaging 3.1 yards a carry, which is terrible. So they don't run much and they don't run well, yet fans would think that he's running too much. What am I missing?
Well, as soon as the offense struggles, Lee, you know, a lot of fans try to say, stop running the ball on first down. Stop running the ball on first down. The Chiefs ran the ball on first down and kicked the Bucs' ass and won the game by doing it. And
well, you're gaining 6 yards a carry. That's understandable.
So, you know, Steve's got the stats to back it up, Lee. You know, Leftwich is not being conservative. He's not. They ran very well against Dallas. The problem the next 2 weeks is they didn't run it well. They just didn't run it well. Averaged, I think, less than 3 yards a carry over those two games against the Saints and Packers. And then I can't judge the running game off Sunday night because the game got out of hand early. I'm not going to blame Leftwich for not running the ball. We'll see what happens against Atlanta. I don't think Brady will throw 52 balls because I don't expect Atlanta to get off to that kind of start that the Chiefs did. I mean, let's hope not, you know.
Well, to back up what Steve's saying, Harold Goodwin said yesterday that one of the reasons the run game is struggling is the lack of opportunities. That's his words, not mine. Steve's numbers back that up, I guess. But I have a question to you, Ira, about the passing game. Maybe it's just the way I'm wired. I just don't believe in coincidences when it comes to personnel moves. I just don't. There's a reason why everything happens. So yesterday, yes. Von Miller tells the Buffalo Penn and Mike Club, Odell Beckham is visited with the Bucks. Past tense, visited. Well, what happened earlier yesterday? Cole Beasley surprisingly retires.
Right.
You think there's any ammunition there that connecting the dots that maybe the Bucks and Odell Beckham, given Julio Jones, you know, it looks like every time the guy walks on the field, he pulls something. You think there's some validity that the Bucks and Odell Beckham might be a couple that will tangle together?
I do, and that's because I think number 12 believes it, Lee, and it always goes back to that. Lee, let's face facts. They really can't have a lot of confidence right now in Julio Jones going forward. They can't. Godwin, God bless him, was okay Sunday night. Didn't do a lot with those catches. You know, averaged maybe 8-9 yards a catch. That's not Chris Godwin. We're not used to that. I think he's missing that extra gear. Hopefully he gets it, but they don't know that he will, Lee. They don't know at this point. Lee, you combine the uncertainties about Jones and Godwin. Gage is okay. Evans is great. I think they feel maybe they need a little more juice in that room. I mean, geez, that's the second year in a row to absolutely get devastated by injuries at the wide receiver position. This is starting to look like last year all over again. Perryman, we don't know what's going on with Perryman either, Lee. So, you know, everything's up in the air right now. I think Brady's got his sights on OBJ, and that brings him halfway to Tampa right of itself.
Ira, I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say that I don't think there's any chance that OBJ comes here. And I'm going to say for a few reasons. One, he's hurt. The guy had ACL surgery the end of February. He's been unlike Chris Godwin, he has not been rehabbing under team supervision. They don't know his health status at all. And I don't think it's realistic that the brass would necessarily be dying to bring him in here when they don't know if he's healthy. Two, he won a Super Bowl last year, so he's not some guy walking around thinking that he needs to join Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl. And I think that's a big factor when it's come to other players. You've talked about it a lot as well. I think the lure is probably less for him here. And yeah, he visited with the Bucks, said the report, but he also was at the Giants on Monday, where apparently he loved it in New York, and a lot of guys want him there. He still has friends on the team, and they're obviously off to an incredible start. For them, I don't know, Ira. And then there's the Rams, where he won last year, and they are interested in him, supposedly. So I just don't think it's going to be a win for the Bucks, and I don't think they necessarily need him. I think that, you know, if I had to bet on OBJ coming back off a late February ACL or Julio Jones contributing enough for them to be dangerous, I don't know if I would bet on OBJ. I don't know if I would do that, Ira. I'd rather see them almost get a tight end if Cameron Brate may have concussion issues now. Kate Otten gets blown up in the run game before last week's game. They very, very low production from that position. I don't know if that's the move I'd make to fix the offense.
You know, one thing, Lee, one thing that's hurting the whole equation is Kyle Rudolph's got nothing left. That hurts. If Rudolph was a factor, if Rudolph was productive, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, but he's not, Lee. As far as OBJ, Lee, obviously you're not going to sign the guy without a thorough examination. You got to work him out on the field, so you're not going to go in blind with him. As far as the Giants, Lee, you want to catch passes from Daniel Jones, Lee? Or you want to catch passes from Brady? Because OBJ's got to be worried about future contracts, Lee. You gotta put the production up. With Brady, if you're healthy, you're going to see a lot of footballs and make some plays. The Giants.
Wait a minute. Why are you going to see a lot of footballs if you got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans on the field with Russell Gage, who they just paid $10 million, who can actually catch the ball? Why would he expect?
It's not the old Chris Godwin, Steve. If it's the old Chris Godwin, we're not having this conversation.
Ira, you're making my point. If it's not the old Chris Godwin yet, coming off knee surgery because he needs more time, what is OBJ, who had the surgery 7 weeks after Godwin? You're making the whole point different for me.
Lee, everybody's different with their rehab. We don't know. All I know is Godwin lacks a little explosiveness at this point. Hopefully he'll get it back. If the Bucs lose one of their next two games, a little desperation is going to come into the picture because, they should win the NFC South, Lee. Yes, they should. No question. You don't want to be the fourth seed necessarily if you think you can be the second seed.
Something has got to be seriously wrong when the Bucs don't host a first-round playoff game.
Right, right.
Unless you're telling me they're going to have the home field advantage, which I think that the Eagles are going to wrap that up. As far as OBJ and the health, I see what Steve's saying, but are we to believe that if the Bucs are serious about Beckham, that they don't have a copy of Beckham's medical records and all the medical stuff? To me, that's a leap of faith that they wouldn't know what they're getting into. I would have to believe that if they're serious with Beckham, they said the team doctors would say, we need to see everything your doctor has. We need to see all documents.
You know, Steve, Buck Nation would feel a lot less antsy if Julio Jones goes out there Sunday against his own old team and catches six balls for 80 yards. That would turn things around right then and there.
Ira, I got to ask you something you said more than once on this podcast. Godwin's not the same Godwin. I'm not going to argue with that, but damn, that passing game sure opened up with him on the field. So how bad can he be?
He's not bad, but we're talking about a guy who would be number one on about three quarters of the teams in this league, but he's a little bit in Mike Evans' shadow. That's a testament to Evans. That's when he's 100%, Lee, and I haven't seen it yet. He caught some balls against the Chiefs. He did, but I want more. The Bucs want more. Godwin wants more. He's coming on, but until he takes that next step, I'll still have questions about it.
And real quick about Kyle Rudolph, I think it speaks volumes that Kate Otten is now your number one tight end and not Kyle Rudolph.
He's got to be hanging by a thread, Steve, on that roster. Rudolph's got to be hanging by a thread.
Curious to see if he plays on Sunday. I think that'll be a big telltale sign because, obviously, even if Brate is cleared, which he probably won't be, but if he is cleared to play, then he may not be 100%. And Otten, like I said, just got blown up a couple of times in the run game. He's clearly not much of a blocker yet, and he's not the blocker Kokeeft is, and the run game's miserable. And I don't think there's any coincidence, Ira. We don't have to go back to it. But Leonard Fournette got hurt in that Dallas game, came out. The next week he played, said he was on one leg, and he hasn't looked the same since opening day. So I'm going to take his word for it that he's not there. But I want to bring this up, Sage, because Todd Bowles brought it up, and it sort of goes to the game, and you mentioned this guy already. Bowles said this week that Rashad White, that this guy's fumbled two times in 4 weeks, which he didn't play in week three. He didn't get an offensive try. So it appeared that Bowles was looking back to the preseason when he fumbled. And he said that, he didn't fumble in college, so they're not too crazy worried about it. But you got to put the ball away and got to stop trying to make a play when you're going into a pile and going down to the ground, which is how he fumbled in preseason. So he didn't really learn his lesson. He was like 2 inches off the ground and was still fighting, at the end of a play when sometimes you just got to go down. I don't know if they're nervous about him, but I got to bring it up because I know Sean Sullivan knows me too well to look at that draft board and say, you got three running backs in the NFL who've been killing it. drafted after Rashad White, and we know that Jason Light hasn't had the greatest history with running backs. Just look at Keyshawn Vaughn, who they tried to replace here, and who's buried on the bench.
It looks to me, Lee, early, that White's the opposite of drafting Ronald Jones. Jones couldn't catch a ball. Stone hands from day one. Never really improved that very much. But he could run the ball a little bit, even though he looks like a guy who might be out of the league in a year. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him in Kansas City. He's buried over there. I don't think the Bucs trust White as a running back, necessarily. I think they like him on the flank to throw the little Giovanni Bernard, you know, flip. He caught all five targets, Lee. Played well in that regard against the Chiefs, but it doesn't look like they trust him with the carries at this point. And furthermore, it doesn't look like they trust Vaughn in that regard either.
I love that you use the term flank. That's very 1960s of you, Ira. I don't disagree. I'm not arguing with you. I find it refreshing that you use the 1960s football term, flank.
Lee, they used to call guys flanker, right?
Yeah.
Flanker.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? I'm equally as bad as basketball. I'm not like one of these dopes that, you know, oh, the one, the two, the three, the four, the five, the six, the seven, hey! No, I use wing.
You're right, Lee. That's a great point because, you know, what the heck was Larry Bird? Well, you know, is he a
good player. He wasn't a freaking number. Give me a break.
I don't see why you got to compartmentalize these guys. I think that's crazy.
I don't know. They've been using the numbers for 30 years. I don't know.
Irritates the hell out of me.
Okay.
You know, like these guys, they're trying to impress themselves. Like, I know basketball. He's a two. He's a three. He's a four. You don't hear football terminology. They're running up the two hole. They're running up the three hole, the four hole. Oh, come on. I mean, I use that, but I'm an idiot. But, I mean, you don't hear football people trying to use that. Give me a break.
Steve, I think Lee's right. Jerry West is just a guard and a great one. I don't care if you want to call him a point guard or a shooting guard. He was great.
All right. You know, Sage, you know it's time to end the podcast when Jerry West comes up. From his playing days, not his executive days or from being on that HBO series, that great character of Jerry West on the Lakers series.
Oh, man, he was pissed off about that characterization.
Someone would call that a caricature, not a character.
That's right.
Exactly. All right, Ira, look, a few things, one more football thing, but Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, that's where you shop. There's no reason not to. Bill Curry Ford, go to them first, get to Sean Sullivan, the GM, first. He'll help you out personally, and that includes body work, service, and buying a new vehicle. New and used vehicles get their nationwide lifetime warranty. BillCurryFord.com. We heard our commercials earlier, but they're our family. Big Storm Brewery, drink your Big Storm beer this weekend. They're still taking donations that they're driving directly to South Florida for assistance. They've got employees down there. They have their Cape Coral Brewery, but they're helping the whole region. It's been all over TV and social media. Big Storm Brewery, they've done a fantastic job stepping up big time. And Florida's Elite Restoration is there for homeowners all over the Tampa Bay area. If you have mold, storm damage that you are just realizing now, fire, flood, FloridasEliteRestoration.com is where you turn to first, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Ira, I got to ask you this big picture, and then we're out, and we'll be back quickly for another podcast. Ira, is it just easy enough? Is it easy or fair or right to just say, hey, you know what? The Bucks, you know, they came home. Aaron Rodgers beat them. Okay, you know, that's just the way it is. They didn't play the greatest against the Saints, but the Saints always have their number, and we saw what happened against the Chiefs. The offense came back. The defense will be fine. They'll straighten it out. It was an off day for them. And, you know, everything's getting right into gear, right on time for the Falcons and this easier stretch here. You know, Bucks are in great shape to do what everybody thought they would do, which is, you know, win the division easily and, you know, pull in 11, 12 wins.
You and I said, and Lee, a month ago, and I'm going to stick with it. We were talking about the gauntlet, the first four games before the Dirty Birds came to town, Lee. I think Lee basically said, 2-2, you know, it's not going to kill you. Steve, I remember very well, Steve, and let's not be a hypocrite, my man. You said 3-1 minimum. 3-1 minimum. Forget about this 2-2. That's not acceptable. I tended to agree with Steve. Steve actually said, "Well, I'm looking at 4-0, but 3-1 minimum. I'm going with Isbits. 3-1. I'm not happy with 2-2, Lee, especially after winning the first two. It's not crippling. They're still going to win the division, but they're falling behind some other teams, Lee, that they might have to play in January. I'm not thrilled with 2-2.
Well, you know, I kind of thought that they'd be lucky to be 2-2, given the fact that who they were playing and that the Saints had a hex over them. So, you know, is it great? No, but it's sort of what I expected. So, you know, I'm not calling the mortician quite yet for the season.
Ira, I'm no hypocrite. I said that they should be 3-1 or something's wrong. And so is something wrong? That's the question I'm struggling with. I think I need another game to really know if that's the case. With given all the injuries and the uniqueness of this start and losing two at home, which I don't think any of us would have predicted, whether we were looking at 2-2 or 1-3 or 3-1. I don't think anybody would have thought they would have lost back-to-back at home like that. But I'm trying to stay optimistic, Ira. I've caught up on my sleep now that this Bucks crushing loss is over. And Sage, what's on the menu for tonight at the Sage household before we get out of here?
Pork chops, a little applesauce.
How great a bunch of you.
A little cream spinach on the side, a little asparagus, and Dutch apple cake to wash it all down about 2 hours later.
And no wonder you're always talking about your diet.
And your cardiologist is on line one, Ira. We'll let you take that.